When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Rolling into hour number two of Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. No Bart today, so we Han solo with you. 800-919-3776 is the number. Been heavy NBA here so far, but Knicks and the Sixers game two tonight. It just feels like a big game. When you consider all the things that are surrounding this, and it's the Embiid knee situation. He was at shoot-around this morning, feeling pretty good. But like we saw in game one, that can look good for a minute, but one false step. We saw that also to the second to last game of the regular season. One false step, and he just – something happens. He tweaks it, and then he's not the same player. The Knicks clearly would be better off if he doesn't play. But doesn't mean they can't beat him when he can play, when he is playing. They certainly showed late in that game with him on the floor, they still were able to take advantage of the fact that he couldn't move that well. Mitchell Robinson played him well. And Josh Hart made some big shots. That part of it is certainly important. Let's not overlook the rest of the weekend. I mean, a very busy one, of course, with a lot that that was going on. From the Rangers winning on Sunday, and we're in that place now. You've heard this from everybody. It's every other day right now when it comes to the Garden, and that's the fun. These teams are just one after another, and let's not forget the Islanders. We're going to talk a little pucks a little later on in this hour. The Islanders are also in a playoff series. They play. It works so perfectly for me, doesn't it? Why is it that I can't get a day where I could like sit back and watch the Islanders? I can't, because the same time the Islanders play, the Knicks play. So Saturday, the Islanders playing at 5. The Knicks tipped off at 6. And I was on the air from 5 to 6. We did an hour pregame show for Saturday's game. We had just the wall-to-wall coverage, as you would expect. And then, of course, the Islanders play when? Tonight. You know, because why not? I just want to sit back and watch some hockey. But you did have the Rangers, and that was yesterday, and they did what they were supposed to do. And it felt like once they got over taking some penalties and stuff like that early on, they got into the rhythm, and Rempe kind of broke the seal, if you will, on the playoffs, and that was important. The first player to score his first playoff goal in his first playoff game for the Rangers since Matt Gilroy, Long Island's own, several years ago. So that's obviously cool to see. Obviously, the baseball stuff going on, what happened with the Mets yesterday after what was a good start in L.A., a 10-0 washout. John Sterling honored over the weekend as well, as we said goodbye to a voice. I was watching that Saturday afternoon, and I'd love to hear Kay's thoughts on this. I can't wait for the Kay show. I'm telling you, like when you get old, like we get emotional about the dumbest stuff. And I find myself with those types of things when you are reliving moments, as they do. They always do, you know, the retrospective, and they did all of John's calls and the emotion and excitement of some of those moments. And I got emotional. Like, not bawling, crying, but, you know, like you just kind of get worked up. Like, you know, those were the best years, you know, like some of those Yankee years and seeing those guys and the Burn, Baby Burn, and the Bamtino and all the calls. You know what I mean? So, like I said, it was quite the weekend. And what a week. And then we have the NFL draft on Thursday. So the Jets and Giants with top 10 picks and so much going on there. So busy time right now, and that's the best time. And there's no better time also to bring in another friend of mine, which is Tim Bontemps, who's covering this series as he does for ESPN and all the NBA stuff as well. And Tim, TB, I appreciate you joining me because I need to know, after reading your tweets all morning and seeing what everybody else is saying, what is the status of the two most important players of the Sixers for tonight's game? What is the latest you know about that?
Well, Joel Embiid was at shoot-around this morning, and I think, like most games, I mean, he's listed as questionable probably 80 or 90% of the time for games. So assuming there's no setbacks today, I expect him to play and play well for Philly tonight. And Tyrese Maxey did not come to shoot around. He's got an illness. It's questionable now to play. However, I think if I'm just betting, I would bet that Tyrese will play and be out there. I think most guys are going to do anything they can to play in a playoff game. But certainly for a Philly team that's hoping to even the series up at a game apiece, you would like to have Tyrese feeling great and, you know, Joel not listed at all. But these guys are very used to Joel being on the injury report, and I suspect he'll be out there. And we'll see as the rest of the day unfolds what happens with Tyrese.
How much do you know about this injury with Embiid as far as severity, or is it a mental block that he's got to get over? And so when he does feel a little something, he tends to, like we saw the second to last game of the regular season, he had that same thing. This one, it felt when he went down, he laid there with this look in his eye like he was going through some serious pain, but then came out to play. How much do you know and what you're hearing about this injury? Is it a tweak of an injury, or is it a mental block that he's got to get over?
Well, we haven't talked to Joel since then because he didn't talk after the game on Saturday and he didn't talk yesterday. So it's hard to know exactly where things sit. But, I mean, look, if you look at what happened in the Orlando game and you look at what happened in the Nick game, it's sort of a similar thing, right, where he goes up, he lands on his leg, and there's sort of a brief momentary moment of did something happen, and then he gets it checked out and he's able to keep playing. So, look, obviously he's just a couple of months off this knee surgery. Obviously he's working through it and he's doing everything he can to be out there and play. But I also think that if he was, you know, I don't think he's re-injuring his knee over and over again and they're just rolling him out there, right? Like NBA teams aren't, they're not reckless with players' health, especially a guy like Joel Embiid. So, you know, I think it's just something they're going to have to probably manage and deal with. And look, you even saw it in the game on Saturday. I mean, that was sort of the entire encapsulation of the Joel Embiid experience, where he did one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in a playoff game, doing the Tracy McGrady All-Star Game dunk in traffic against Mitchell Robinson in the second quarter. And then, like you said, he's laying on the ground. You're wondering if he's going to play. And then he's back out there with 15 seconds on the halftime clock and walking on the court and playing in the second half. And yes, he missed shots and was short on his jumper, but was still hugely impactful in the paint as an interior defender. So, you know, he's obviously a fantastic player for a reason. And it's, I expect him to be out there and playing well tonight for Philly as they try to even the series up at a game apiece.
It seems like that Nick Nurse has pushed back on this immediately, but there was a little bit of a narrative out of the Philadelphia media about whether or not this was the right thing to do. And, you know, should Embiid play through this, or should he, you know, should they shut him down for the sake of the rest of his career and the importance of, you know, next season with Maxey, him healthy, and then with the potential of, and we know Daryl Morey, going after a third star to put those three together and try to finally get this guy, never mind a championship, out of the second round. Like, that has seemed to have quieted down quickly. Is there zero consideration for this?
I think if Joel Embiid couldn't play, he wouldn't be playing, right? Like I said, I don't think anybody's trying to be reckless with Joel Embiid's career. I think he's able to come back and play, so he's playing. I mean, it's the same as, you know, Karl Towns came back from meniscus surgery in, like 5-6 weeks, right? And there's not anybody saying Karl Towns shouldn't play. And there have been people saying that since the day Joel got hurt. And I understand Joel's had a long injury history, and there's some trepidation about his ability to stay on the court. But on the other hand, like, he wants to play, he's able to play, so he's playing. And I just think that the Sixers are paying this guy a couple $100 million. Like, I think they're going to want him to be out there for a long time. They're not trying to have his career end sooner. So I would say that if everybody's in agreement he should play, then it's not for me to sit here and say he shouldn't, or for anybody else either. You know, like, that's a decision with him and the team and the medical staff, and they've deemed him ready to go, so he's ready to go.
All right, let's turn the tables then on to the Knicks and what they did in this first game so far, which is they didn't get a lot out of Jalen Brunson, and that was by design. I mean, the Sixers wanted to take him out. They openly talked about the head of the snake thing that they were going to do, and Oubre, for a fifth game this season, has done a great job on him one-on-one in half-court situations. Is this what the Knicks are going to have to endure to win this series? Is just understand that they're probably not like they had seven straight games of 30-point performances from Jalen Brunson. He averaged over 30 a game since January 1st. But they've got is other people like what you saw from Josh Hart, Deuce McBride. It's going to take that for them to win this series, would you say?
I mean, I would certainly not expect Jalen to go 8 for 26 every game. I also don't think you're going to see Boyan play the best game he plays the Knicks every game. I don't think you're going to see Josh Hart, who didn't make more than 3 3-pointers in the game, make 3 in the fourth quarter and 4 in the game every game. For as great as Deuce McBride has played the last few months, and he's been awesome, he's probably not scoring 20 points every game. And you're probably not going to have 23 offensive rebounds every game. So, yeah, the Sixers are – the Knicks had a lot of really good performances and played well and deserved to win the game. But I think you're probably going to see some regression to the mean on both sides, and that you're not going to see the supporting cast all play great. And you're also not going to see Jalen Brunson shoot 33% from the field.
Is this series the one that has the two teams that have the best chance at giving the Celtics, I mean, I can't even say beat them in a series, but give them the hardest work they're going to face in the East, one of these two teams?
I mean, I think so. I mean, you have to give Milwaukee the potential to figure it out and be there with these two teams. I think it's unlikely that happens, but despite the way yesterday went against Indiana, but we'll see. But yeah, I would say that they're the two teams that have the best opportunity to do that. And I would also say that, you know, that's for the same reason, whoever wins the series is going to be favored to make the conference finals for the first time in a generation. And that's obviously going to be a huge deal. So there's a reason why that game was such a war on Saturday. I suspect Philly's going to win this game today. I suspect they're going to split the games in Philly. It's going to be 2-2, or whether Philly wins both there or whatever. I've thought the whole time it's going to be 2-2 through four games in the series. And it's going to just be a 6 or 7 game absolute rock fight to the end. And we'll see who comes out on top. But they're really good teams. They're really well coached. They can do a lot of different things. You saw a lot of strategic stuff already in game one. I think that's going to continue as the series goes along. And, you know, obviously it's why the Embiid injury questions are such a big deal, because
yes,
that could very well end up dictating how this thing plays out and as a result, who's favored to be playing Boston in a few weeks.
I'm glad you understand why I'm asking you these questions about Embiid, as you are. Like, you're answering
them
as if,
Alan.
I bet. I'm sure on SportsCenter the same thing's happening to you, but it's like as preposterous as these sound. You know, you're just like, well, if he's not hurt, he's going to play. Yeah. But when you see him limp off as much as we've had, and we know he's got the penchant for the dramatic, we completely understand it. But still, it does raise that question of it could be it could decide whether or not, like you said, this is either a grinder or it could be over in five. Like, it's as simple as the health of this guy's knee. So that's why we asked the question.
No question. No question. And look, if the Sixers lose this game and, you know, Joel doesn't play well or Maxey doesn't play and the Knicks go up 2-0, I mean, the chances of winning the series for Philly go down quite a bit.
Right.
Now, Nick Nurse and the Raptors in 2019 played the Bucks, lost a close game at home, or a close game on the road in game one in the conference finals. They got smoked in game two, and they were down in both the fourth quarter and overtime in game three and came back and won and went 4 in a row. So it doesn't mean the series is over by any respect if the Knicks win today. But, yeah, look, today will probably go a long way in deciding whether this is going to be a really long series. Or, like you said, one that, you know, if the Knicks win it, there's at least it opens up the possibility this thing is over in maybe five games and New York gets a chance to rest a little bit.
All right, Tim Bontemps joining us right now, covers the NBA for ESPN, covering this Knicks-Sixers series. You mentioned the coaching in this series. Nick Nurse, Tom Thibodeau, two guys that are, you know, masterminds that are going to go at it, obviously with adjustments and strategic moves and everything else, especially Nurse and his defense. There's no doubt about that. But I'm curious how you felt about as the finalists were announced for all the different awards. And for Coach of the Year, you have three guys that are definitely deserving that are the finalists, and Mark Daigneault OKC, Chris Finch of Minnesota, and Jamal Mosley with the Orlando Magic. And Josh Hart actually retweeted it and said, 50 wins, second seed with an injured roster for half a season and not a Coach of the Year candidate. Of course, he's talking about his own coach, Tom Thibodeau. Are you surprised that he's not in the top three, considering all the things that Josh Hart laid out in his tweet?
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm also not. I also think he's deserving too, right? Like,
yeah.
There's 8 or 10 coaches every year you can make an argument for being in the top three in coach of the year at the end of the day. And like, you certainly can make that argument for Tibbs. You can make that argument for Joe Mazzulla, whose team only won 64 games and had absurd numbers across the board, like truly historic, historic stuff across the board. You could make it, I mean, you look at Chris Finch, they've won the second most games they've ever won. They held up down the stretch without Carl Towns, and people thought they might end up falling to fourth or fifth mm-hmm. in the West, right? The Thunder just won the Western Conference with the best, with the youngest team,
right.
With a team starting lineup under 24 and an average team age of, I think, 23.9. So, you know, you go across the board and, like, you could have any of these people be up there for coach of the year. I mean, Nick Nurse won 47 games with a Philly team where Joel Embiid missed half the season. So, you know, like, I don't think Nick Nurse should have been in the top three either. I don't think Nick would say that. But, like, I think both things are true. Tom obviously had a phenomenal year with this team. It is a team built in his image with a bunch of grinder-type guys who love playing for him and love going to work every day with a hard hat and a lunch pail, which, as we know, is what he's looking for in players. And it's been super fun to watch. But, you know, it's like any one of these award discussions, as you and I know, people who've covered this league for a long time, sure, Tibbs is totally deserving. Also, like you said, if you look at the three guys who are nominated, it's very hard to argue with any of them being nominated either. And this award in particular, there's always at least five or six and often more guys you can make a real case for, and there's only three that you can vote for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if he finished fourth, right, and then you'd say, okay, well, he was right there on the verge. So we don't know, but
yeah,
exactly. But it's interesting too to think about it. Josh Hart, of all people, is the one that goes to social media to take up for his coach when you know all he does is give him crap all the time. So it's funny, but it also tells you to the respect factor that certainly is there that he would do that. Do you think, by the way, TB, that the Knicks and Sixers are facing each other right now in the spring? Do you think this summer they also might be facing off in ways to get better for next season? When you consider, you know, I can't imagine Daryl's not going to be aggressive, which he always is. Daryl Morey, the GM of the Sixers. And we also know that the Knicks have an opportunity, if they choose to, with all their draft picks, to try to do something this offseason. And it's not a very big pool of players. So do you think these two teams will be kind of at war to get a piece or two that could get them closer to the Celtics?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, if for no other reason than what you just laid out, right? I mean, the Sixers are obviously going to be aggressive to try to make the team better, and the Knicks are the team that have been sitting there for a couple of years with a ton of assets and the ability to go make moves to make themselves better if the right thing comes along. So, yeah, I don't think there's specific guys that I have in mind. It's like, oh yeah, they're going to be fighting over this player. But yeah, I mean, if there are any stars that come available this summer, the Sixers have, I think, 5 picks they can trade and a ton of salary cap space.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks have a ton of draft picks and a bunch of players on interesting contracts that they can trade. So if they want to go after somebody, they can go after sort of whoever they want. And so, yeah, I do think that's going to be the case. Because look, like you said, the Knicks have had a phenomenal season, and I think they could very easily win the series and make it to the conference finals. Same thing with the Sixers. You know, Embiid still is at the peak of his powers when he's out there, and Tyrese Maxey's really developed, and they got a great coach, and they could certainly make the conference finals. And both those teams look 10 leagues behind the Celtics right now, because that's how far ahead it feels like Boston is in front of everybody. And so, yeah, like if you want to catch them, it's going to take some work. And that's no disrespect to anybody, but it's just the nature of things. I mean, Boston had – I had the standings up because I was on with a executive before you guys called me. The Celtics had a 14-game lead over the Knicks from first to second in the East, and the gap from first to 10th in the West was 11 games. So, yeah, there's a reason the Celtics are overwhelming favorites in the East, and there's a reason why we're looking ahead to what these two teams can do to get better, because for as great as the Knicks are playing, everybody here obviously would love for them to go up another level, and to go up another level is going to require probably adding some more high-end talent, and there's going to be a few teams in that ballpark fighting for those guys, and Philly's certainly going to be one of them.
Yeah, and you don't want to be the one that misses out, because, like you said, Philly then takes another step. You don't get to take that step. It only pushes you down. So it's going to be interesting even after the series what these two teams do. TB, I know you're busy today. I appreciate the time. Thanks as always.
Anytime, my man. I'll see you soon.
You got it. Tim Bontemps again, ESPN NBA reporter. You're covering the series for us, so the Sixers and the Knicks. And he mentioned that I call the Eastern Conference playoffs the Boston Invitational. I've been calling it that for a while because, let's be honest, that's everybody's playing. Just everybody is basically playing each other to see who gets to lose to the Celtics in the conference finals. Now, you don't go in with that mentality. I'm talking about it from the outside point of view. They are the far and away favorite. In fact, I think they're the only team on ESPN Bet that is a minus when it comes to getting to the NBA Finals. Everybody else on the West, including the Denver Nuggets, are plus whatever. I don't know, the numbers keep moving, but they were like at one point like minus 125. Like, it was not even worth putting money on. So when you consider everybody's fighting just to play them, what you hope is, like last night, yesterday I should say, Celtics in the Heat. Now, Miami doesn't stand a puncher's chance without Jimmy Butler, but you know they're still going to punch. That's what the Heat do. And late in the game, you saw Caleb Martin try to box out Jason Tatum and took him out. Now, it was, some people call it a dirty play. It wasn't. He was boxed out. He was trying to get to the ball. Tatum jumped kind of early, whatever. But what you know is, can Miami take a bite out of him? Just a little something. Just take a bite out of him. Because by the time they get to a conference final, whoever it is that's meeting them, maybe they're not as 100% as they've been most of the season. They've been remarkably healthy all season. That's all you can hope for if you're going to try to beat them. But they are real good. And let's not also forget this. Boston hasn't, their core has been the same. And it's been, Tatum and Brown. But a lot of this team has changed. And that was this offseason. Jrue Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, Derek White was 2 years ago. Like, this is new, but they've been adjusting as they go as well. So it's nice to keep a team together and watch them grow, but you also know you reach a point where it's like, okay, we got this far, but we got to get a little farther, which means we got to make a move or two to do that, and you got to be smart about it. No one knew that Jrue Holiday was going to become available. Once Damian Lillard was traded, Holiday became available, and the Celtics jumped on it. I mean, I'm sorry. But, I mean, that's the smartest play to make, is that guy fits. They moved on from Marcus Smart. People thought, whoa, you're taking away a great defensive guard, heart and soul kind of player. Are they better now at that position without Marcus Smart, who I always thought was a great fit there, but it's like he couldn't get – it's only so far he could get them. They got to a final, only so far. Jrue Holiday, different. Porzingis, the way they shoot threes. You see this game yesterday? 22 made threes, 49 attempts. They took 49 threes and 33 twos. It makes no sense, but this is what they do. Live and die by the three. Pretty much, they live, you die. That's how the Celtics win. But you got to be able to build your team to a point where you can take them on. And that's what this offseason is going to be about one way or another. All right, we have calls to get to at 800-919-3776. We certainly will do that. We also have audio files to get to where instead of me talking, you'll hear other people talking about what's happening right now in the world of New York sports and more. So stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
PanCan Purple Stride is the ultimate walk to help end pancreatic cancer. If you or a loved one has been affected by pancreatic cancer, Purple Stride is the event for you. Your participation and fundraising makes all the difference in advancing progress for patients. Join the movement on Saturday, April 27th at 9 a.m. at the South Seaport Pier 17. Register today at purplestride.org/New York. Once again, that's purplestride.org/New York.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Jalen Brunson did not look like Jalen Brunson in game one of their playoff series against the Sixers. Tonight it's game two, Knicks and Philly. earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg. Guys talked about if they had any concerns about the Knicks point guard.
There's no guarantee that all of a sudden in game two, he's great. But, I mean, I think the track record of what you've seen from him in this entire regular season and what you saw from him last year in the postseason is that he's going to bounce back and have a really good game two.
Watching him play game six against Miami last year when they had almost no other offensive options and watching him against that elite defensive team play at that level, I have no concern that Jalen Brunson is not going to respond in game two.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew, honey, during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
A second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party is coming up on Thursday, May 2nd. Come out to see the live broadcast. It starts at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset. And that's just a couple of steps away from the Manhasset train station on the LIRR. And then after the show, like they did last year, the crew is going to then take the train to Citi Field for a matinee game, Mets and the Cubbies. So you can hang out with the boys on the train and all that other stuff. So it's a pregame party with Rick and Dave, Thursday, May 2nd, and it is brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company, Come As You Are, and by Zing Zang, America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails, available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. And by the way, everybody, please zing zang responsibly, okay? All right, right now, we have your calls at 800-919-3776. We will keep them stacked, racked, and ready to go. But it is time for me to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
I almost feel like Dina Han gets excited for these days when Bart's not here and he has the chance to do that. Because there's a little something extra in his voice when he does that.
I did just jump up. I was like, oh, yeah, Bart's not here. My big time.
You almost forgot. Well, I thought we could give Jake a shot at it today, but maybe maybe Power Hour. Are you ready for Power Hour today, Jake?
I don't know if I'm ready for the Power Hour. But you call on me. I'm stepping up.
All right.
That's what we're going to do.
You're going to be ready, just like Joel Embiid. You're going to play through it.
That's right. I'm going to blow out my knee on the way out.
Meanwhile, with everything else going on right now with the playoffs between the hockey and the basketball and the baseball teams obviously underway as well, there's an NFL draft Thursday. We are that close to it now. And there's all kinds of talk about what's going to happen in this draft because, as always, there's a run on quarterbacks. We know this. The first three picks are expected to be quarterbacks. Could there be four? That's what's being rumored. The Giants, are they in the market for a quarterback? Well, if you listen to Adam Schefter, who was on Pat McAfee today, He said the Giants and the Vikings could be on the verge of trying to move up.
New England's going to listen to teams that call. The two teams in my mind that I've been able to ascertain that have been the most active calling up to number three have been the Minnesota Vikings, number one. And I think second, if we're going to quantify it, is the New York Giants. Those are the two teams that have expressed an interest in moving up to number three. Now, whether they can get up to number three is a whole other issue. Whether New England is willing to go back is a whole other issue. It's going to take a lot. And so I don't know ultimately that New England is going to move off that pick. New England may just stay right where it is. And so if you're the Vikings, and I also think, by the way, yes, I said Drake May, but I also think that in a perfect world, the Vikings would have a high degree of interest, as would other teams, in Jaden Daniels. But I still think, as we talked about, that Jaden Daniels is the favorite to be number two. So the price of three goes up a lot if the Commanders decide not to take that pick. But I think the Commanders in the end will opt for Daniels. That's my read on it.
Commanders.
And if they do, then I think we got the Vikings who have expressed the most interest in coming up to number three. The Giants have expressed some as well. And the Patriots very likely are possible to just sit where they're at and pick from number three.
Great stuff there from Shefty. Because if you remember right, the Patriots have made it clear that the three pick could be for sale. So it's not like they're locked in there. You know, Commanders said, we're not going anywhere. They're not trading that pick. So they're locked in. But three, it's for sale. And so clearly the Giants are seeing it as an opportunity to get their quarterback of the future. And so between them and the Vikings need a quarterback as well. And so, you know, maybe it goes to the highest bidder. But is it the right move for the Giants when you consider, like he said, I mean, Drake May would obviously be the name, right? They have been connected to J.J. McCarthy by several people. Six seems like it's too far out. Three, you get who you want rather than taking whoever's left over. And so it is something certainly that is going to be a lot of intrigue going into this week's draft. And again, Joe Shane has played this well. He has had a lot of smoke screens out there, but this is certainly a story to follow as the coverage will get better and better as we get closer and closer. Thursday, things will get really hot. It's always a lot of fun. The Jets have the 10th pick. Not a lot of chatter around their pick right now. But the Giants are sitting sixth, but could try to move up as high as third, according to Adam Schefter. All right, not only did the Knicks have some noise over the weekend, Saturday night at the Garden getting their win, the Rangers also got their first playoff win in their game one against the Capitals on Sunday afternoon. And as I mentioned, you know, it was an uneasiness at the start. It was a little sloppy, some penalties early on and whatnot. But you know how it is in the Garden. There's just like there's that tension. And you got to be able to just break the seal. And once you do, it feels like it's just an avalanche of momentum and intensity that can break through, because that is such a loud building and is such an intense crowd. And Peter Laviolette, the head coach, said that's what it took. And it came after, of course, it's Rempe who gets the first goal, and also Vizi that got. Once they got those two goals, it just seemed like everything settled in.
It's pretty tight in the first period. Not a lot. They've been playing pretty tight hockey. We knew that coming in. You know, that was a big goal. It did put energy in the building, maybe because it was him too. It put a little extra more extra juice in the building, and then able to get another one, you know, right after that. So that was a turning point in the game.
They seem to love this guy. I mean, he is really what they call it, the Rempire State Building, right? Is that what PK Subban called him? With Tom Wilson, by the way, hanging around, you almost feel like it's inevitable between these two are going to meet at some point, right? Like at some point. Meanwhile, for Rempe, it was such a great story, not just because it was his first playoff game. They didn't even know if he was going to dress, and he did. His first playoff goal as well, but his mom was there to see him play. And that's obviously special, right?
I always got some juice, but no, she obviously, like, I love her so much. She's my biggest fan, and we went out for dinner last night and walked around, and she'd never really been in New York, so we were just walking around, and it was definitely cool. Like, I bet she was pretty emotional today, so it's real cool. Yeah, she's the best.
I can tell you right now, Matt, she was definitely emotional. Trust me on that one. How about your mom hearing your name being chanted at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like I said before, I love them. They're like, I don't want to let them down. I want to play my hardest every single game for them. And it's pretty cool. Today was the first game my mom was at the Garden ever. So it was really special because she got to hear the chants and get a goal and stuff. So it was really special for her to be there. And yeah, so it's a really special night.
I mean, what a moment, what a day, what an experience this whole thing was. And the Rangers now on their way. Their first win. Well, they got 15 more, right? Is that what they... That's all you got to say now at this point, right? Because they do have everything you need. They do. It's all right there. I saw the Stanley Cup today, guys. It was at Seaport, and it was in its by. I put a reel on Instagram. I hope I did it right, but you know me, I'm old. And they opened the box, and right away there was the Stanley. It's gorgeous, as of course it is. But it was wild to see it, and just know, like, it's this is what everybody's playing for right here. And at some point, 2 months from now, somebody's going to take that cup out of that case and lift it above their heads. Will it be a Ranger? Will it be Jacob Trouba? Will it be at Madison Square Garden? That's what the fun part is right now. Meanwhile, as the NBA playoffs roll on, and tonight the Knicks back in action in Game 2 against the Sixers, and Embiid's status is still questionable, though it is expected he'll play. Tyrese Maxey somehow, some way, is on the injury list. He's listed as questionable with an illness, though he wasn't at the shoot-around today, but it doesn't mean that, you know, I mean, it's an illness. Guys played through it. You have heard of flu games and everything else. You expect he's going to play. But meanwhile, in other playoff games that are going on around the NBA, things to watch include whoever wins this series between the Knicks and Sixers. The next opponent would be the Bucks and the Pacers in the second round. So keep an eye on that series because the Bucks are playing without Giannis Antetokounmpo right now as he's dealing with a calf strain. Damian Lillard went off with 35 points in the first half. I mean, 33, actually. He had almost as many points as the Sixers, I mean, as the Pacers did at one point. The Pacers looked completely like, no pun intended, a deer in headlights against the Bucks in that first half. And Pacers coach Rick Carlisle called it embarrassing.
First half was embarrassing. No excuses. We simply have got to come out better. And it was ugly, and we all own it.
But they were much better in the second half. In fact, it was like a 29-14 third quarter. Kind of got them back into the game, but it was too little too late at that point. But it looked like at least maybe they got their legs under them and started figuring it out. I don't think that's an indication of this series. I still feel like the Pacers have the upper hand. If Giannis is not playing, and the Pacers just kind of figure it out, they have so much offense going that they should be able to win this series. But that first half, that'll test your confidence in this team. And it certainly sounded like Rick Carlisle was not happy with it. The Heat and the Celtics also began their series yesterday. And as we mentioned, the Celtics are a juggernaut. I mean, they are just so good that the Heat, even with Jimmy Butler, were going to have a hard time. Without him, you knew it was going to be hard. It was 14-0, 17-2 in a blink. And they were doing nothing but just burying the Heat with three after three after three. I've said this before as well. All you want to do is see a team like Miami. They're tough. They're rugged. All that stuff. Can you take a bite out of them? Can you just carve out of them? Just a little something. Just so by the time they get to the conference finals, at least they're a little bit squeakier. At least maybe leaking a little bit of oil. Something. You do not want to see the Celtics just cruise through the first two rounds, which they easily could do. I mean, they're going to play Orlando or Cleveland in the second round. I mean, come on. So can the Heat do something? Well, something did happen in the game. Jason Tatum was going up for a rebound. Caleb Martin went for a box out, and it looked like a hip check that Matt Rempe would love, where he just buried him with the hip check and flipped Tatum over. Lands hard. Now, it did not look like it was on purpose, but this is on brand for the Heat. They play hard no matter what the score is. They're going to hit you. They're going to box you out. They're going to do all the things you're supposed to do. They're a hustle team. And there was a lot of talk out of Boston that it was deliberate and they were trying to hurt Tatum. And for Jason Tatum, who's been there certainly before against Miami, he said, you got to expect it.
I feel fine. I mean, I didn't see it. I went to go get the rebound, got knocked out there, fell, and I got right up and go shoot some free throws.
I mean, what went into just stepping right back up and then kind of strutting to the free throw line?
Just understanding it's playoff basketball, right? It's a physical game, playing against a physical team. You know, it's going to happen. It's not the last time I'm probably going to get hit like that or fouled in this series.
No, it shouldn't be either, and he knows it, and that's fine. He did get right up, which was the most important thing for the Celtics. But for the Heat, an embarrassing loss. They did kind of claw back. They were down by as many as 30 in this game. They gave up 22 threes. Obviously, they jump out of the 8 play-in and right into this series. Not much time, you know, to really get ready. And they don't have Jimmy Butler. So put all that together, and it was a recipe for disaster for Game 1. That doesn't mean this series is not going to have at least one or two games where you get that typical Miami Heat game where they give you all they got and they just grind you. So we'll see how game two goes. But for that first game, the Celtics look like I said, this is the Boston Invitational, the Eastern Conference. Last but not least, over the weekend, just because, as I mentioned earlier in the show, when you get older, nostalgia matters more to you. When you grow up with certain athletes, when you grow up with voices of the teams that you love, you tend to get nostalgic when you hear that voice and then realize that you're not going to hear that voice anymore. John Sterling, the great voice of the Yankees on a radio call for 30-plus years, has called it a career. And so they honored him Saturday at Yankee Stadium in only the way the Yankees can do, with class and dignity and everything else. And John Sterling talked about just how the most important part of all this stuff, and I know this on a much smaller scale, but it does matter. The feedback you get from fans when you are broadcasting their favorite team's games for as many years as you can, it does mean the world.
I've been here as the Yankees 36 years, and in that time, person after person, group after group, have come to me with kindness, respect, and love. And how lucky can you be for people to celebrate what you do for a living? You know, I had to bring these people up, and I had to make money to do it. So the fans have been phenomenal to me over the past 36 years.
All I can say is thank you, John. I've never met the man. Never had the opportunity to meet him. But the voice, you know, obviously is one that is distinctive. And there's many, many calls that I have imitated, having fun and enjoying it. And obviously one of the great, it is high, it is far, it is gone, will certainly live forever. So thank you, John, and congratulations on a great career. All right, that's Audio Files. By the way, John Sterling also, at one time in his career, called Islanders games back in the very beginning. So yeah, a connection there as well to my past. And speaking of which, you know, they also are in the playoffs, and they got their hands full with a Carolina Hurricanes team that has been there, done that, and has been a bit of a problem for the Islanders. But that game one, the feeling was they could have won that game. And maybe, just maybe, they feel like we can win this series. We'll talk with my good friend Butch Goring about all that next. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Friends, go see my friend Dr. Jay Shaw. He's a double board certified pain specialist. Don't let your neck, back, joint, or nerve pain slow you down from doing all the things that you love. It's time for you to reclaim your active lifestyle. You say, how do I do that? I'll tell you how. Call Dr. Jay Shaw today at Sandwell Pain. Dr. Shaw treats joint, neck, back, sciatic, and nerve pain. Dr. Shaw is also a migraine and headache specialist. Procedures involve no cuts, no scars, no incisions, or downtime. Call Dr. Jay Shaw and take a non-surgical approach with precise image-guided without pain medication. Enjoy a pain-free life. Same day or next day appointments are available. Go to SandwellPain.com and put an end to your pain and suffering today. Why wait any longer? Make your appointment with Dr. Jay Shaw by going to SandwellPain.com and regain your active lifestyle. Enjoy all your favorite activities pain-free. Sandwell Pain now has 3 convenient locations in Woodbridge, Livingston, and a brand new office in Inglewood to serve Bergen County. Visit SandwellPain.com. You wish you met Dr. Jay Shaw a lot sooner. Most major insurances are accepted.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Isles Nation, listen up. ESPN New York has your chance to score tickets to the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs. be there to see your New York Islanders take on the Carolina Hurricanes in games 3 and 4 at UBS Arena. Enter to win at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. You just scroll down to contest and submit your entry. It's easy on the app. Just put it on your phone. Be done with it. You can also listen to all our shows streaming on the app, too. Like, this is what you want to have. This is brought to you by the New York Islanders. Be a part of the electric atmosphere at UBS Arena and get your tickets at NewYorkIslanders.com. Working on talking to Butch Goring. I mean, I love talking to Butchie, and this is the best time of year, and he certainly knows all about winning championships, so nobody better to talk to about where they are in their series with the Carolina Hurricanes, which continues tonight. It's on MSG. Pregame coverage begins at 7, puck drop 7:30. We also have it on 10:50, by the way, ESPN, 10:50 a.m. if you want the radio coverage, again, beginning at 7 p.m. puck drop at 7:30. Meanwhile, let's get back to calls. 800-919-3776. Gabriel in Brooklyn. Gabriel?
Alan.
How you doing?
I'm all right. Listen, I think the Knicks need to win tonight because you don't want to give Philly that breath of air, like letting the fifth bitch out going back to Philly.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know what? Like, I look at the games different than I think the other people. Like, you know, even though Joel Embiid is hurting that, this dude still gave them 28 points. You know what I'm saying?
Like, he did the bulk of the work in the first half, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah, the fourth quarter, you know, he had nothing left in the tank.
And Mitchell Robinson has to make him work, like get in his chest, you know, make him work. You got to get really physical with him because, you know, he's like, if you're on the court, you're playing. So I got to play you at my best. So it's like, you know, it's not my fault he hurt. So you got to make him work, you know, like laterally make a move. But I really believe the Knicks need to win tonight because if they don't win tonight, they might find themselves in a real fight.
I'm telling you, you don't want to go with momentum for them back to their building with a couple of days off in between. Remember, they don't play till Thursday now. So that's the last thing you want to do.
Yeah. Go ahead. Giving Joel Embiid a lot of time to rest if the Knicks lose tonight. And then it's like, I really need them to win tonight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think they feel the same thing. You know, they survived game one. Game two, they've got to make sure that they have control of this game. And I would test that knee over and over again. Test that knee. Eric in New Jersey. Eric. Eric?
Oh, this is Ed. How you doing,
Alan? Ed, how you doing, Ed?
Good. Hey, so, you know, I think the Knicks roll the Sixers tonight, and I'm going to just tell you why. I mean, I think people are overstating Philly's ability to shut down Brunson. You know, they act like they shut him down. We got so used to this guy scoring 35, 40 points a night. He had 22 points. I can count three or four of those shots, the layups that rolled off the rims or shots that went halfway down and came out. You know, and I expect us back at full force tonight. And, you know, Vegas agrees. The line is 6. I think this series, you know, I think we move toward wrapping up this series tonight and go up 2-0.
I like your confidence, Eric. I don't think it's overstated, though, what they've done with him, because you got to understand that this is not something that was isolated in one game. I'll give you everything that I have from Second Spectrum. Jalen Brunson was 8 for 26, and he was 2 of 9 when Maxey guarded him, 2 of 6 when Oubre guarded him, 1 for 4 when Lowry guarded him. And more importantly, Oubre's had his number all season. It's the fifth game now that they have faced the Sixers when you consider 4 in the regular season and this one. Oubre has held Brunson to 29% effective field goal percentage in half-court matchups, the lowest rate among 22 players to defend 15 or more shots against Brunson. So he has done the best job in guarding Jalen Brunson than anybody in the league all season. So they know how to guard him. They know what to do. He's got to figure out how to get either away from him or be able to get to his spots on balance, because they had him off balance throughout that game. So, Eric, it's not overstated. It's a real thing, but they got to figure it out.
Yeah, and we'll see if Brunson can, you know, prove what he's done all year and you know, bounce back. And, you know, he hasn't had to bounce back too many games because he's usually scoring 35 points.
Yeah, he's been great. But, no, there's no question. He's been great. Yeah. So,
well, thanks for taking the call.
No, appreciate it, Eric.
Not Eric.
Oh, Ed, that's right. Appreciate it. I honestly, that is everything in this game. It really always does come down to the stars. So the first thing you talk about is the Embiid knee injury or knee issue and how he looks and all that stuff. And the second thing is, okay, what about the Brunson angle? And that's a big part of this certainly as well. All right, coming up, let's go full buffet. because there is a lot. We haven't done, I haven't gotten anybody on hockey yet. And the Islanders play tonight. The Rangers won yesterday. And, you know, I mean, I got the hockey background. I love to talk it. Always people that say it, never talk hockey. You don't talk enough. Come on. I mean, this is the time. This is the best time of year. Springtime, playoff time. So we will take your calls, full buffet. Obviously, the Knicks stuff is big, so you can certainly call on that in the NBA playoffs as well. So much to get to. You heard what Shefty said about the Giants really moving up to 3. Is that the right move? Is the quarterback of your future in this draft, and is it going to be worth the capital it's going to take to move up to get him? So much to do in what's going to be the Power Hour. We'll see if Jacob can step up and do Power Hour with me. And if he doesn't, you can call in and try to do it better. So all that coming up, stay with me. The road to the NBA Finals, as you know, starts now. And new customers on FanDuel can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. I got the draft on my mind right now. Just go to FanDuel.com/Allen to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 older, physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com for help with a gambling problem. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Game one, the Knicks got big performances off their bench against the Sixers tonight. They try to go up 2-0 on Philadelphia. Joel Embiid's status is up in the air. But earlier this morning on DPHR and Rothenberg, the guys talked about the importance of the Knicks bench.
It felt like the conversation that we'd have today leading into this game was going to be a lot like the conversation we're having about the start of the Yankee season. Look, the Yankees are still winning, and Aaron Judge hasn't even hit yet. You won a game where Jalen Brunson was not...
He was bad.
Give the Sixers credit too. They have guys that, you know, pose defensively, can pose problems for Jalen Brunson, especially knowing that that's the guy that you have to, they said it before the series, cut off the head of the snake. We need to find a way to slow down Jalen Brunson. And they did.
What possibly Philadelphia's overlooked is the Knicks, they have so many guys that if you slow down, even a Brunson, if you slow down a Brunson or you slow down a DiVincenzo, which they did on both. See, that to me is such the key. You got subpar performances from your two best offensive players and you still won the game.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew response. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.